Hi, this is Conversations with My Sisters. My name is Kristen Schaefer. I'm with my sister, Anna Jo. Anna Jo, thank you for being here today.
Hi, Kristen. So glad to be here.
We have lots of conversations, you and I. You are fourth oldest in our family, my third sister. Would you introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. I am married to a wonderful person, Brent Mason, and we have six kids. I just have one at home now. I just can't even believe it. We just took our fifth up to college and we just have one at home.
I had such a big adjustment to being an empty nester. For me, I needed to reinvent myself. You have this awesome business. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing the last 10 years or so?
I have taught preschool out of my home for the last 12 years, and it's been fun. I got my degree in elementary education, and I taught kindergarten for a year before Brent and I got married, and then I substituted for a year. All of my kids went to this awesome, awesome preschool teacher named Rita Lyon. I was the parent teacher who would come in and help them those years, and they all were reading before kindergarten. It's just a super academic, awesome preschool, a little bit gospel-y, and just really cool. And so then when my youngest went to kindergarten, then I started teaching preschool out of my home, and I just kind of adapted Rita's, you know, reading program and another preschool discovery club, that tons of science. It's just been awesome this last 12 years to have that. So yeah, that has kept me busy, and it's given my kids something to kind of help me with a wee bit. I will have something when I am an empty nester. I'll still have that going on.
That'll be a blessing. But it's a blessing to all of the families that you serve. Your students come away from 1 year of preschool reading, and they learn so many wonderful skills about life, but also they learn a lot about science, because Anna Jo teaches reading in the context of real science. And they have performances throughout the year because they learn so many songs. Now, I know that a lot of you listening are thinking, man, I wish I lived in Arizona so that my child could go to Anna Jo's preschool. But you don't have to live in Arizona to go to Anna Jo's preschool. She has an online preschool where you can purchase videos of her teaching, all the homework downloads. Can you tell us a little bit more about your online offering, Anna Jo?
It's pretty cool. The year COVID shut everything down, that was when I started making all the videos. And then next year, everybody was remote. And so about half the families that were signed up with me said, that's not going to work for me, but half of them stuck with me. And for about 3 months or 4 months, they just watched my videos, four videos a week, and they came in all together just ready to read, and they were all on the same page, and we had the best reading year I had ever had. It was awesome. And it was sad because meanwhile, all the public schools, they were floundering with reading, and the kindergartens, it was really tricky. It was really hard it was a hard year. But there's 150 videos, and it's meant to be like four videos a week. And then all the, you know, little fun pages, the worksheets that go with it to really help them understand the phonemic awareness and really make them solid, solid readers. So they go from not knowing any sounds to being really fluent by the end. Like, it's an accelerated preschool, or even like for a homeschool kindergarten. It's really cool how much kids can learn at this age.
I think that anyone would be crazy not to do this with their kids. I would have done it with every single one of my kids if I had had that chance. Will you tell everyone how they can get to your online preschool?
Oh, we just have a website. It's www.missannasclass.com, and you can sign up there. It's really inexpensive. You could do it with a co-op. You could do it with a friend, and it's so much less expensive than regular preschool, and then still have, like, you know, independence and social experience if you do it with a co-op, and it would just be so easy for the moms and have them learn so much. It's pretty fun.
So that's Miss, M-I-S-S, Anna's, A-N-N-A-S, class, class.com.
Thanks, Kristen.
You're welcome.
Well, that was a plug. I didn't know that there was going to be that plug, but gosh, thanks.
The whole world needs to know about it. They really need it. And so it'd be so sad for them not to know about it when I know that they need it. Okay. So I want to shift gears with you now, Anna Jo. You have been stellar at teaching your children the value of work. I was hoping we could talk a little bit about that. Going way back into our childhood, what are some of your memories of us working at home?
I remember we had Saturday jobs and we had dinner jobs. And with it being so many children, it was kind of nice because there were so many jobs covered. Mom had mini, do you remember that she would have mini classes sometimes on teaching us how to like scrub out the toilet and clean the bathroom the correct way, or
especially during the summer when we were exactly.
Yeah. I remember there being loads of laundry. You didn't see Mom watching a show. She wasn't just a high energy person in general. And Dad, I just remember he had that stable engineering job that wasn't always super pleasant, but he just always, I just remember them working so hard for us.
They set a wonderful example of hard work. Both of them did. We learned from them through example. We learned through purposeful instruction, like you said, the mini classes, and then the expectation that we would all pitch in on Saturdays and at dinner time. How has that influenced how you teach your children the work ethic at your home?
We do the same thing. We have had dinner jobs and Saturday jobs and summer goals. It's funny because back when I was younger, we would ask about earning money or if we were bored, he would bring up all these entrepreneurial things we could do. One of them was a paper route. I remember Delene and I did a paper route. I had to have been 11 or 12 and Delene was 11 maybe. And I remember we sewed these bags to carry our papers in, and we would get up super early in the morning and ride around and deliver our papers. And every once in a while, we would pull off to the side of the road and sleep for a second. And then we would go and collect the money from, just felt like a very dangerous part of our neighborhood. But it was hilarious. We made as much money as we could collect. That was a good thing. I remember another one was they certainly supported Janet and I. We had this business. I was a gymnast. Janet was an entrepreneur and kind of the brains of the whole business probably. But we had gymnastics classes in the summertime and it was only a dollar an hour. So no wonder we had so many students. I mean, we had 20 or 30. Honestly, I wanted to say 30, but I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't say 30 because maybe that's not really true. But there were at least 20. I mean, the whole neighborhood, of course, come over to Anna Jo and Janet's gymnastics lessons. And we made a beam and we made mats and we used a mattress too. I remember, anyway, that was quite a venture. I'm sure we felt like we were pretty rich after that. They just encouraged us. You guys worked at Dairy Queen at a very early age and you guys were awesome workers. So they were willing to hire me at 14 to work at Dairy Queen.
Wow. I didn't realize you started working at 14 there.
Yeah.
I was 16, but Carol was 15 when we first started working. That was a really fun place to work because it was a hip hangout.
Oh, totally.
At that time.
Super social. Everyone came in there and we got to eat the ice cream.
Right.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Dad was very entrepreneurial. I remember him having all kinds of ideas. Even when we were begging him to be allowed to wear flip-flops, Dad did not think that that was appropriate footwear. He would say, I could even make those. And I remember thinking, okay, let's prove him wrong and trying to make flip-flops. Anyway, Dad instilled in us somehow that we could do anything.
I did feel very empowered, probably more than I should have coming out of my childhood. I think I felt like I could do anything, be anything. I'm like, oh, I was in for some humbling, but, you know, they did instill that. It was fun.
It was fun. So have you instilled some of those same things in your kids?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've tried to do, I mean, everyone does the best they can. It's funny because I had a friend who gave me early on, she had hanging up in her home this quote that said, teaching children the joy of honest labor is one of the greatest of all gifts you can bestow them. And that was by Elder Perry. And I had that hanging up in my house for years. Another friend on my street, when my kids were very little, she lent me this book called Children Are Assets, Not Liabilities. And it talked about how, you know, you develop this work ethic and they are helping. You're not just serving them 24/7. And so, yeah, we had dinner jobs, Saturday jobs, summer goals. Our parents didn't give us money for fast food or entertainment or anything. We had to earn whatever we spend, right?
Right.
So we kind of felt the same. Did you do that too, Kristen?
Yeah, I wasn't going to give my kids money just for being alive.
So yes, but we did try to provide them opportunities to earn some money so that they did feel like they weren't totally deprived. Right. So we would help them, you know, make bread, sell bread. And because mom had taught us how to make bread, then it was good bread and people wanted to buy it. And, you know, they would come back and back. And so that was good. But anytime they were saving up for something, they knew they could always sell bread. And that wasn't without its foibles, though, because once they sold on the main street and some police got called and said, no, they can't be out on the main street. So we were like, okay, well, they'll just come around the corner into the neighborhood, and we'll leave the sign out on the main street. And it worked just fine.
Well, it reminds me of a story when Curtis was 7 years old. I remember him telling me that he wanted to have a business. And we had done bread and cinnamon rolls, but he wanted a real business. So we printed business cards. And I let him design his business card with my phone number on it, of course. I let him decide what he wanted the name for his business, what service he wanted to provide. So he was a part of all of that. I supervised him as he went to doors and knocked, introduced himself, and handed them a card. When a child learns to be a producer instead of just a consumer, I think that they feel strong and courageous and capable. That's what we want our kids to be, because we want them to be responsible American citizens.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. It needs to start young. It doesn't start all of a sudden when they're trying to get independent and out of the house for them to start actually doing something.
Yeah, but what was his business?
He would dog sit or wash cars. I can't remember the name of his business, but he wanted to have mountains on the front of his business card. So there were big mountains on his, which has nothing to do with dogs or washing cars.
Okay, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, it ends up that he still loves mountains and he still is an entrepreneur. He's a business major. Now he's, you know, 20, almost home from his mission to when he was 7. Very similar kid.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
Still super hardworking. And you can make so much more money in college if you have your own business versus working minimum wage on campus.
Oh yeah, because did he do power washing or no?
Yes, he did. Had a power washing business in college. And I wasn't going to buy that power washer for him. He had to save up, use his savings for the power washer because that's real business. So now he still has the power washer. He's planning on coming home. He can immediately start working by calling all of his clients again and cleaning out their trash bins and their recycling bins and wash out their carports.
Yeah, there was in our old neighborhood a young man who was probably 14 or 15, and he did this Keep It Cool camp. We kind of copied him when we went to this other neighborhood, and the kids took a turn being my partner. We would do this Keep It Cool camp where the kids would come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today we're doing recipes. The next day we're doing make a video. And the next day we're doing a science experiments. And the next day we're doing magic tricks, you know, or something like that. The second hour was swimming in the pool. Anyway, but that brought in some money before they were able to get a job. My kids couldn't go work at Dairy Queen at 14 anymore. And yeah, so right. Also we did tumble and swim classes because I taught tumbling in the basement for a while before I started teaching preschool. We've also done this mission where you go and you build houses for this little remote village in Mexico, just a tiny place. You camp with all the other families, and the families break into two houses that they're working on, and they finish the house by the end. It's just really good for the kids to be able to see this is what they have. This is their real life, you know. That was a really good experience. Never did I hear the kids complain once on that trip. It made them really love humanitarian work too. The kids have worked hard in school. They've worked hard in their sports, and I've been proud of them for that.
That is very inspiring. They appreciate what they have because they've done the humanitarian projects, and they've roughed it in these camping trips, and they've used El Baño in the middle of the, you know, desert or wherever you are. So they appreciate what they have. They've worked for it themselves. How do you teach your kids to manage their money?
Well, I think that I think that in part, like, well, we always had them saving 20% as they grew up so that when they came to college and mission, then they had a substantial amount. They still had to earn quite a bit to be ready. And then just paying for their own things. I think that just that experience of having to pay for it themselves really helps that, don't you think?
I totally agree. They need to prioritize. Like if they go out to Chick-fil-A 3 times, then they're not going to be able to buy a new jacket. You know, you start understanding the value of money better when you're making those kinds of choices.
My parents paid for our tuition and then we paid for everything else. Well, that's what we've done with our kids too. We've paid for their tuition and then they've had to pay everything else. I worked my buns off through college, you know, custodial jobs, cleaning the barbershop, MTC cafeteria, washroom, blah, 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 you know, lifeguarding every summer, diving, coaching diving, all those things. But for some reason, I don't know why, is it just harder looking at my kids doing it? Like it feels, I'm not sure, but I think that I have been proud of them for stepping up and just, you know.
That is happiness. When I'm serious.
No,
it
is.
If you are taking responsibility for yourself, you are happy. When we try to defer our responsibility to someone else through blaming or through feeling sorry for ourselves or complaining or rebelling against that ideal, then we aren't taking responsibility for ourselves and we end up having a victim mentality. Now, some of our kids have reflected back on their childhood and thought that they weren't as lucky as other kids were because we weren't handing them $20 every afternoon that they wanted to go to Sonic, but we weren't handing them that on purpose. Someday, they're going to really be glad that we were teaching them those life skills.
Yeah, my one who has voiced that little bit of, that was a bummer growing up. She says the very next breath that she will also have her kids raise them the same way. She did love her childhood, but it was with responsibility.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that I have your example for me to reflect on. Anna Jo, thank you for sharing this with our listeners. When we grow up, we have some positive things that happen and we have some hard things that happen. But yeah, it doesn't help to blame our parents for things that are uncomfortable. Our lives are much happier if we take responsibility for our future, act on it, be grateful. We all can find something that we can be grateful for, move forward with hope. There's so much hope. I hope that all of you who have listened to this podcast have gone away with something that is helpful. If you have, then share it with another person so that they can also benefit from the truth that we've discussed. We love you, and we know that Heavenly Father does too.